dive deep into the stories the mainstream media won't touch. This American Journal.
All right, welcome back, folks. Hearing from Greg Reese. Part of this organization that has folks like Greg Reese. And I'll tell you, out of all of the successes InfoWars has had, out of all of the troubled waters that Alex Jones has navigated this ship through, all of the correct decisions that have had to be made, right? It's one of those things where if you want to win, you got to make the correct decision every time. Losing only takes one mistake. You got to make the correct decision every single time if you want to take it all the way to victory. And of all the things, out of all of the wild and unexpected successes that InfoWars has had through its long and storied history, the people here has to be at the top of the achievement chart. The quality and intelligence and rigor of the people that work here is truly something to behold. And it's, if you've ever worked a job, you know how hard it is. Like, I don't know if there's any other job I've ever experienced where you're just 100% of the people at the office are exactly who you'd want to be there at any point. Like, usually you're lucky if there's like one other person in the office that you can stand in your job who's competent and like takes responsibility for their work and, you know, goes above and beyond. That's such a rare thing. Somehow, and through the messaging and the just the atmosphere and spirit that InfoWars gives off and the people that that attracts, and then the vetting process and the strenuousness, the sort of what it takes just to work here, and people can't handle it, they get weeded out pretty quick. But everybody, from the content creators to the people behind the scenes, the people that run the website, everybody here really is the best in their field, and that includes Greg Reese, of course. And that's another thing about InfoWars, is it's not just my show, you know, it's not just the American Journal and Alex Jones and the War Room with Owen Schroyer and all of, you know, the crews that it takes to put all of this together, but it's all of the content creators at Bandai Video, Greg Reese, John Bown, Brian Wilson. I mean, the list goes on and on. And it's all brought to you, of course, by InfoWarsStore.com, which also, by the way, means we don't take money from anybody, really. We've had to a few times in the past, and we've made that public because we make everything public, because we're totally above board 100% of the time, because we realized early on, Alex Jones realized, the deception that the powers that be are willing to unleash, the lengths they're willing to go. And so by making InfoWars upfront, totally clear, totally transparent in the way that we do business, in the way that we make money, in the fact that if you go to InfoWarsStore.com and buy a product there, you are our sole source of funding, you and the other InfoWarriors that support us. We really do thank you, and we really do implore you to go to InfoWarsStore.com, make a purchase, make a donation, do whatever you can to keep us afloat, because you know, we're just moving from the frying pan into the fire. We're moving from one obstacle course to the next. As if it's God's will, we will, you know, soon have made it through the gauntlet of the lawsuits, and hopefully we'll be able to keep operating. I mean, that's all still up in the air, as far as I know. But should we make it through this, we're going to be immediately set upon by the DOJ and others. And we were talking about this on Moonbase Live last night, my friend John and I, and just wondering, like, was maybe the lawsuit was, like, lucky? Maybe because, you know, the bankruptcy happened and all the financial stuff at InfoWars had to be aired in court. Like, nobody can say that we're taking money from foreign powers anymore. Like, they can't even make that claim anymore because we've gone through the bankruptcy and proven where our money comes from, and it's from people going to InfoWarsStore.com. So maybe, who knows? As we're, you know, cursing the fact that we have to be hobbled like this at the same time, you never know. You never know what could have happened in a different timeline. Either way, go to InfoWarsStore.com to make sure that we're here to fight another day.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI is now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
Oh my goodness, folks. Saw some crazy stuff I'll have to tell you about in just a second. Of course, Gregory's was talking about the herd, the human herd, the flock that we are a part of, whether we like it or not. I remember a friend of mine talking about this a while ago, using the herd as an illustration, as a metaphor. I think there's a term for it. It might be something like the outrider horses. But the idea is that when you're in a herd as a horse, all you see is the herd, right? You're surrounded by other horses. You can't exactly, peer over them. You don't have binoculars. So all you see are the other horses, and that's all you have to go by, except for the outriders, except for the people on the edge, except for the people on the fringes. I think Greg Reese even used that term, the fringes, right? It's those horses on the outside that are not in the middle, not surrounded by the herd, but out in the dangerous fringe. They're the ones that see the danger first, and they're the ones that warn the rest of the herd to get away from it. And the rest of the herd, they might not even know what the danger is, but they have to be directed by the outriders. And right now, our enemies, the wolves, the coyotes hunting our herd, are systematically eliminating the outriders. They're eliminating those on the fringes, not surrounded and blinded by the rest of the herd, but actually able to, see the horizon and look out for danger. Well, they're the ones being eliminated right now, meaning that the danger will be that much more successful in their hunt. And then I was just looking up, I was trying to find the term, right? I think it may be outrider, you get what it means, but I think there's like an actual term for this. Like it's a role that certain, in a herd of horses, like certain horses are the ones that are on the fringe. They're the fringe, herd riders that, that watch for everybody. And so funny, I just found this article from happyhorsetraining.com. And with dashes in between. And it's just so funny the way they describe the herd, and it just sounds like they're describing humanity. And this was the thing that Jordan Peterson sort of got famous pointing out, is that, human hierarchies are not some invention of civilization. They exist in nature to a degree that is eerie, almost, like how perfectly they align. A few key points on herd dynamics that are useful to understand. One, horses like to have a leader. Some horses are passive and don't want to move any further up the pecking order, and so accept the leader willingly. Others can be more assertive and will try to catch you off guard in order to move up the pecking order and become leader. Horses are habitual and enjoy routine. When a human takes the leader's role, it's their job to keep the horses safe, watered, and able to participate in mutual activities like sleeping, grooming, or side-by-side walking. Horses with very strong bonds often physically position themselves in each other's heart areas, the area of the body running from the head to just behind the shoulders. This seems to be an acceptable area to communicate from. Conflicts are resolved by an instant reprimand from the leader. The leader then becomes passive straight after the reprimand and resumes what they were doing before. They don't hold grudges. Horses are social and enjoy interacting with others and have a natural instinct to keep moving forward. And like every herd has two leaders, a male leader and a female leader. The female leader stays at the front leading the herd of where to go, and the male, the stallion leader, stays at the back and makes sure nobody falls behind. I don't know if there's any wisdom to glean from that, but I do think it's very interesting. And the when the hierarchy gets disturbed, the herd ceases to exist. These hierarchies are in place for a reason, and you can't have two leaders of the same herd going in different directions and have the herd survive. Very interesting. I find it interesting anyway. Now, I'm going to actually play a longer video here because I want to play the whole thing. And it's something that we brought up yesterday because it broke during our show. I have the story here somewhere. Here it is. New York Post wrote an article on it. Top Manhattan U.S. Attorney's Office spokesperson blasts D.A. Bragg over Trump prosecution in secret meeting. Quote, the case is nonsense. So this is Nicholas Baez, I think. Baez. Chief spokesman for the Manhattan U.S. Attorney's Office was secretly recorded tearing into progressive prosecutor during a recent conversation with a so-called undercover operative from conservative podcaster Steven Crowder's Mug Club, saying, honestly, I think this case is nonsense. This clip and another from August 14th were released by Crowder on social media Thursday. The identity of the woman who secretly recorded the exchange wasn't made public. The Post has not reviewed the full unedited recordings. But this is one of those situations where we've gone from desperately trying to point out the obvious and finding it extremely frustrating how unwilling people are to see with their own eyes what's going on very clearly, the dangerous activities of the authorities in our country. And you move from warning about this and talking about this and desperately trying to get people to recognize this to the people doing it actually admitting it on camera and still nothing really being done. It's incredibly frustrating. And like this might be a signal that like the age of revelation has passed. Like for a long time, InfoWars and our purpose has been to try to tell people about stuff they didn't know and isn't made public. Now it's all public. Now it's all out there. It's out in the open. The revelation has come. The awareness has broken through. Now it's time to do something about it. Now it's time to put the awareness into action. Because if these people get away with this, like that's it. For democracy, for the republic, for humanity itself. If people can be caught on camera saying, yes, we are politically persecuting our opponent to cripple him in a campaign, and they aren't arrested and jailed, and the case isn't thrown out, guess what they're going to do 100 times more immediately following this next election. It's extremely troubling, I have to say, that any of this is even happening, but especially that nothing is being done about it. So we'll go to a good chunk of this. The whole thing's 13 minutes. You can find it at the Mug Club and on Steven Crowder's X. DOJ Chief of Public Affairs admits Trump indictments are politically motivated perversion of justice. Let's watch.
He's stacking charges and rearranging things just to make it fit the case is nonsense. It's a perversion of justice.
To make him a convict, a convicted felon. They think that's his scandal if he's a convicted felon.
It's a travesty of justice, a mockery of justice.
Let me be clear about something on the outset. The person you'll be watching today is not the bad guy here. Unwitting whistleblower? Yeah. Nicholas Biasi is the chief of public affairs for the Department of Justice's Southern District of New York. Something you may be familiar with, and the most prominent federal trial court in America.
Those felonies did nothing to stop Trump from running.
No, in fact, they made him more relevant.
Did that backfire?
Sure did.
And
conservative Republicans. You know, it's a perversion of justice. You know, stacking charges and rearranging things just to make a better case. No, to be honest with you, I think the case is nonsense.
State levels are wild west. They're like idiots. They don't care. They're all political. So yeah, this guy's probably going to try to lock them up. And there is going to be, it's going to be ugly. They're so obsessed with getting here.
Who is they?
I've known for 15 years. He used to work in my office. Before he decided to prosecute Trump, did you know who he was? You do now. I'm not sure what he wants to be, but I know he's not happy just being the DA in New York County. So now he's very ambitious. Every real estate person in New York does what he did. Nobody's ever been charged with this. Until him.
Mr. Biasi is just saying the quiet part out loud. The part that unfortunately matters. Lawfare? Yes. Why? Because Biasi openly says so. The ones from Alvin Bragg are a particular perversion of justice. How do you know? Because Biasi says so, and he's known him for 15 years. Election interference? At this point, is there any doubt?
He was stacking charges and rearranging things just to make a better case. No, to be honest with you, I think the case is nonsense. Every real estate person in New York does what he did. Nobody's ever been charged with this. Until him. And that's why I like the surgery of the Republicans. You know, it's a perversion of justice.
Those felonies did nothing to stop Trump from running.
No, in fact, they made him more relevant.
Did that backfire?
Sure did.
And that was that Alvin Bragg's choice to do that? Or? Yeah. Why?
Because Alvin's very ambitious.
What do you mean?
He wants to be, you know, something. I don't know what. Mayor. I'm not sure what he wants to be, but I know he's not happy just being the DA in New York County. So this is, like, before he decided to prosecute Trump, did you know who he was? You do now.
What was the point of even doing it then?
To make him a convict.
To make him what?
A convicted felon.
What if he can still run for presidency and...
Yeah, but it affects his candidacy if he's a convicted felon.
I was trying to count the laws, and I was like, I wonder, like, how many are against him. I think it's called lawfare.
Yes.
That's what I have gathered from that.
That is what they call it.
So how does this even happen? How can it happen? How can the local and state level courts try President Trump with more ease and less red tape than the federal courts? That doesn't seem right to the uninitiated, but you are the uninitiated. Good thing Biasi isn't.
I mean, at the federal level where I work, there is a 90-day rule where you can't make any decisions on cases that are going to affect an election. That rule does not apply at the state level because the state levels are wild west. They're like idiots. They don't care. They're all political. So yeah, this guy's probably going to try to lock them up. And there is going to be, it's going to be ugly. They're so obsessed with getting here. Different system, like the state level and the federal level are like night and day. It's hard to explain, but like there are so many more rules in the federal level, and they're like the threshold for a crime is so much higher. Like I said, it's like the state level is like the wild west of law. It's like very checks and balances.
And I know, I know what you're thinking. I thought it too. Well, you're talking about one case or two or 19. Hey, if it's local, you break the rules, you pay the piper, or even if you don't, if you're President Trump, pay the piper. But there are other cases in the country. There are a lot of them. Where there's smoke, there's fire, right? What about the Georgia electoral interference case, right, that Donald Trump is currently having to face under Fannie Willis, right, the Fulton County District Attorney, who was caught having an affair with the main squeeze, I mean, special prosecutor Nathan Wade.
So is that the strategy against Trump, just hit him with all the legal battles all across, like the Fannie Willis, Georgia stuff? What do you think about that case?
It's a travesty of justice. To put it mildly, it's a mockery of justice. She is a joke. Like, her and her boyfriend, she was seeing, the whole thing is disgusting.
I guess at this point, the only argument left is why should you trust anything Biasi has to say? Let me make the case. Biasi is an expert. He has firsthand knowledge and experience. And despite how the media is going to try and spin this, he is kind of an authoritative voice as the chief of public affairs for the Department of Justice's Southern District of New York. This man knows the players. He knows the game. And he knows that it is rigged.
Who's that?
Alvin Bragg, yeah, who I've known for 15 years. Mm-hmm. He used to work in my office. Mm-hmm. So here's us. Here's Alvin. You know, he's county level, and he decided to do the case.
Yeah.
And Michael Cohen is mm-hmm. their star witness who we prosecuted.
Okay.
You know who he is?
Mm-hmm.
That guy's a psycho. He mm-hmm. calls me.
What does he want with you?
He's like, he's got this thick New York accent. He's like, is this Nicholas Biasi, the chief of public affairs? And I'm like, yeah, this is me. He's like, this is Michael Cohen. Why won't you guys, vacate my conviction? And I'm like, I can't really, I'm not authorized to speak to victims or defendants,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was a pretty good answer, not knowing who was calling. And he was like, well, who can he speak to? And I was like, the media. And he goes, I have one of the biggest podcasts in New York. But I kind of didn't believe him.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you're still a defendant, and that precludes me from talking to you.
I've known Alvin for 15 years.
Like, how well do you know him?
I used to work with him for 10 years.
You guys have dinner together and hung out?
No, we weren't best friends.
Okay.
But I mean, like, if I see him, we're like, I mean, we know each other really well, but like, do I respect what he's doing? No. Is he a nice guy?
Yeah. What about like the other people you work with? Do they know it's all a political perversion?
Yes.
Trump stuff?
Yeah.
Well, we deferred on all this stuff.
What do you mean?
We investigated and, you know, decided that, for one thing, there is precedent that you can't indict a sitting president.
You cannot.
You cannot.
Okay.
There is an Office of Legal Affairs rule that you cannot indict a sitting president. It's just too disruptive for the country. So we didn't. But the DA did.
Again, it's important to remember that Biasi is not the bad guy here. I know you're probably mad. Lawfare is a thing. And it's not only happened to Donald Trump, it's happened to many of you watching or listening right now. Some of you don't even know it yet. You don't live in a free country simply because you have laws. You only live in a free country if the laws are applied equally. Otherwise, the law is not a tool to protect a free people, it's used as a weapon to bludgeon the people who perhaps think wrongly. What is the media going to say here? And it's a good thing that this is part of an ongoing series every single week between now and election night.
See, I have to sort of disagree with Stephen Crowder there. This guy is the enemy. And I'll tell you why. Now, on one hand, I get what Steven Crowder's saying, that clearly this guy is not okay with what's going on. Kind of. I mean, that's what he says. So why didn't he resign? Why didn't he go to the media? Why didn't he make a big stink out of it? Why didn't he call up Fox News, call up the local New York media and say, I am holding a press conference. I'm the spokesperson for the district attorney. And I want to speak to the New York media at 12 o'clock on Tuesday. They'll show up. They'll bring cameras. They'll provide live feeds. You can stream it yourself. And if everything he said here in this, you know, dingy bar to an undercover reporter had instead been said in public as an announcement, as part of a resignation, where he said what's happening here is political, is a perversion of the law, is a purely political move, then he'd be a hero. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He doesn't say anything about it. He doesn't go public. He's a coward. He is the exact type of person that evil relies on to stay quiet and to bow their head and to roll their eyes while evil people destroy our system of government. What else would this guy put up with? I mean, I can see the same type of conversations happening about execution squads going around. Well, no, it's total perversion. It's totally wrong. No, these people are innocent. I'm not going to say anything, though. No, I'll quietly be complicit. But it's wrong. But it's bad. If this guy had an ounce of honor, legitimacy, you know, if he wasn't crushed by cowardice and fear, he could have stopped this process in its tracks. And it would have been the right thing to do. And he knows it would have been the right thing to do. So why didn't he do it? As somebody who knows Alvin Bragg for 15 years, has seen in his own eyes, I wrote down some of the quotes talking about how everybody in the office are, quote, idiots. They don't care. They're all political. And he sounds like an info warrior. He sounds like somebody who sounds like he hosts the American Journal on InfoWars. He's saying everything that we say, verbatim almost. So I explained it yesterday. You've got three types of people in the world. You can break it down into the supervillains who know exactly what they're doing, the superheroes like us who also know what the bad guys are doing and are against it, but the vast majority of the population are NPCs who just have no idea and go along with whatever. This guy's a supervillain. This guy knows what's going on, and he doesn't stop it. He doesn't do anything about it. He doesn't stick his neck out whatsoever. So I'm glad they caught him undercover. You know, in a way, maybe it's better that he's not one of the people that's like, oh, yeah, it is lawfare, and it's awesome, and we're going to destroy him. Sure, he's better than, like, the open, blatant tyrants. But he's the Quisling. He's the person necessary for tyrants to succeed. He should have stood up and called this out, and he would have been a hero.
I'm asking viewers to just sit back for a moment and really think about the success InfoWars has had. And InfoWars isn't just me. It's not just the crew. It's not just our guest. It's all of you, the viewers and listeners, that give us intel, that spread the word, that support the broadcast. In the 30-year history of me being on air and 27 years of InfoWars, we have changed the world. And because we researched the globalists' own documents, we knew their game plan. I didn't learn all this stuff out of some Palantir crystal ball. I did it by reading the books and publications that these creatures put out. Because they communicate with each other and are very honest about their diabolical plan for world government, depopulation, transhumanism, total robot control. And I've believed in humanity. I bet on you because I was betting on myself, and I know that it's always darkest right before the dawn. And so now in 2024, so close to this election, it is more critical than ever to not just keep InfoWars on the air, but to not take the reports and the videos and the articles and the interviews and to get those out to everybody you know. I understand that's really stating the obvious, but we have to understand how urgent the moment is and really redouble our efforts. And I'm saying that myself. I'm on the air 7 days a week. I'm doing a lot of interviews. I'm doing more special reports. We're going out in the field. We are busting our ass because the future destiny of humanity is really on the line right now. Now, a critical part of InfoWars continuing on and hopefully even expanding into the future is your support. And we make it so easy. We bring you the very best products that are out there that will empower and enrich your life at very competitive, affordable prices. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Read the 5-star reviews for the great InfoWars MD line and the other great supplements as well. They really are incredible. They're the very best that the supplement industry has to offer, and they really work. That's why people love them. The fastest growing industry in the United States, other than AI, is supplements year after year for 30 years because people are seeing the incredible effects. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there are more than 15 products under the InfoWars MD line, and they're all amazing. But some of my favorites are the Nitric Boost that cleans out the blood, the cardiovascular system, and has a lot of great side effects that men will particularly notice. You need to check it out for yourself. You hear the callers talking about it all the time without me even prompting them. It is amazing. Then you've got Joint Relief Max that is a natural pain reliever. Works really, really well in a healthy way. You have Turmeric 95. 95% curcuminoid. This is where we get the turmeric for Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. They're both excellent. InfoWars MD. We've got the full spectrum CBD gummies, 25 milligrams. Great anti-inflammatory. Isn't a downer, isn't a depressant, but makes you very relaxed and focused. It's almost like a stimulant in a weird way, but it's different. And then, of course, we've got other great products for women and men, Ageless Vitality, just high-quality collagen. All of this funds our operation. And, of course, these are 25-milligram gummies. They work great. We have 1,000-milligram tincture that is made by one of the top manufacturers in the country who sells it at retail for twice the price we sell it, then they discount it. Even at the discount, we're selling it for about 50% less than the actual manufacturer does. There's not as much profit, but it's a great deal. 1,000 milligram CBD oil, InfoWars MD, that's the tincture. Then we've got all these other amazing products from InfoWars MD as well. They're excellent, and it funds the operation. So go to InfoWarsStore.com today and check out the InfoWars MD line. While you're at it, get a high-quality water filtration, get storable food, get books, get films, get T-shirts. All of it will enrich your life, inform your mind, and keep us on the air. That's critical right now. I humbly thank you for your support. Now please go to InfoWarsStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, folks. We're halfway through the show today. I'm going to go and open up the phone lines for your calls. Give us a call here on American Journal at 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. We'll gather your calls here, and I'll go to them just as soon as they start coming in. But I want to spend the next two segments talking about two different topics and showing you a bunch of videos to illustrate what is going on, because it is monumental. First topic is free speech. The second is migration, the invasion, especially the Venezuelan migrants, as that story continues to unfold in bizarre and disturbing directions. But let's start with censorship. What's coming down the pipe, what they are announcing that they're doing, what they intend to do. And just to repeat myself over and over, I don't know how to make people care about this. I can tell you what they're going to do. I can show you clips of them saying what they're going to do. But if you don't care, I guess it doesn't matter. If the American people are so far gone, so disconnected from the importance of our Constitution and our God-given rights and the meaning and purpose of free speech, that they legitimately don't care that it's going away, then all the revelation in the world is not going to change a thing. Which is what I'm really worried about, especially considering the fact that we know these people are operating very sophisticated AI systems that are running simulations, running the numbers. And what they've determined, and apparently correctly so, is that we've reached the point where a presidential candidate can declare that if they get elected and they're already in office, that they will send the DOJ after their political opponents, and that they will instruct the DOJ to shut down social media sites and punish their owners for so-called hate, which is an entirely arbitrary and completely meaningless phrase, and Orwellian in its effect. Hate is whatever they hate. That's all it means. So let's go first to clip number six, because I hope, and I see Joe Rogan as a massively important pipeline to the normies. We were talking about this on Moonbase last night as well, remembering the Donald and Reddit and how that was probably the first major social media platform that they utterly crushed, shut down completely, banned it outright. Why? Because it wasn't siloed. It wasn't a ghetto. Information and memes and content that went viral on the Donald subreddit would get to the front page of Reddit itself, where, you know, one of the most popular websites on the internet, where people from every walk of life and everybody would go there, and it would be introduced to them. So we were talking about this, and we were saying, you know, that's what's missing from this election is the meme energy, the can't stop the Trump, you know, can't stump the Trump, the, you know, Trump train, like this energy, this joyful, reckless optimism and victory is missing now. And the Donald was the home of that during 2016. It's been removed. Now X is opened up to a much greater degree. Twitter and X is a much bigger, you know, platform for this type of stuff, but it's siloed. And you can have people, you can have events go on X, conversations, debates, arguments, drama, scandals, which just seem to go on for days and days. Everybody you know is posting about it, and it's the only thing anybody's talking about. But guess what? Your neighbor has no idea. The neighbor on your other side never even heard of the people involved. Your cousins and your aunt and uncle, no idea it's going on whatsoever. So X is an illusion a lot of the time. Things can break through. Elon Musk is doing a great job of breaking through because he's not just a commentator. He's the richest man in the world. He owns the website. They're constantly targeting him. So mainstream media is constantly reporting on him, and everything he posts, there's like an article about. So that breaks through the mainstream a little bit. But breaking through to the mainstream is the ultimate goal, should be the ultimate goal of any memetic concept. We cannot remain siloed. We cannot remain ghettoized. We have to break through to the mainstream with this information. They recognize that. That's why they have so aggressively and successfully gone after those outlets and those sites that have allowed us to break through in the past. So Joe Rogan is an important aspect of this, and he reaches the normies, and he has a widely popular podcast with people that are completely apolitical, and he exposes them to these new ideas. Let's go to clip number six now, as he seems to recognize exactly how dangerous the current atmosphere is becoming.
How could you possibly gaslight me enough to go along with you on this?
They cannot seem to grasp the fact that the party that they believed in is now doing the inverse of everything they signed up for.
Exactly.
Because the New York Times rephrases everything so it seems like the values are still there. And if you're not a New York Times reader, you can barely figure out what these people are talking about.
Did you see the article that I posted on my Instagram that's a title of a New York Times article for today?
Which one?
Jamie, pull this up. I want Brett to see this so you know this is real. This is an actual New York Times article. The Constitution is sacred. Is it also dangerous?
Right.
One of the biggest threats to American politics might be the country's founding document. What the f*** are you talking about?
Yeah.
One of the biggest threats to America's politics might be one of the greatest documents that any country was ever founded on, if not the greatest ever.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a threat to America's politics. What politics are we talking about? Like, what? How could you possibly gaslight me enough to go along with you on this?
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, it's on the one hand completely predictable, right?
Right.
Because there's obviously an authoritarian force there that just grinds its teeth at night over the Constitution and the fact that it prevents it from doing things that it just wants to do last week, you know?
And that's it. That's it. They hate it because it limits them. It prevents them from doing what they want to do in an open and aggressive way. It just means they have to be trickier. They have to be sneakier. It's a series of roadblocks and obstacles in their way that they can and do run roughshod over, but it makes it a little bit more difficult. And as the supposed law of the land, they have to contend with it in some regard. I'm not surprised at all that people are gaslit into this. It makes perfect sense. I can see it now. Some God-fearing, you know, boomer, whatever, you know, grew up in America, saying the Pledge of Allegiance, knowing the Constitution, revering the Founding Fathers, and then, you know, flash forward to 2024, and, you know, you can sit there and go, you know, the Constitution's kind of dangerous. And they go, yeah, you know, I heard that. Yeah, you know, I heard that the Constitution's kind of it lets people be hateful. Maybe it's time. I'm not surprised at all that they're demonizing the Constitution. It's inevitable. It's the obvious result of where they're going. And again, it's those insane sounding warnings from Alex Jones 20 years ago. They hate the Constitution. They hate your freedom. They're trying to enslave you. They're systematically destroying our God-given rights. Well, that doesn't seem too crazy now, does it? The problem is, by the time it's obvious what the plan is, it might be too late to stop the plan. By the time they're writing articles saying the Constitution is dangerous in the New York Times, maybe the time to stand up and resist this was 10, 15 years ago. But this is the normalcy bias. This is the perennial issue with America. And by the way, going back to the video of the guy talking about this is all political, and the girl talking to him says, how are they getting away with this? They're getting away with it because our system is predicated on having an intelligent and, more importantly, virtuous populace who would, in any normal circumstances, vote somebody out of office who was abusing their power. Instead, we have people voting for people for the explicit reason that they're going to abuse their power, because they're evil and dumb.
It's Friday, August 16th, 2024. The world is changing. The globalist system is now attacking humanity. Yes, our program's come to an end. The grid. A digital frontier. I tried to picture clusters of information as they move through the computer. What do they look like? Ships, motorcycles, with circuits like freeways. I kept dreaming of the world I thought I'd never see. And then, one day, I got in.
Alex Jones, Dr. Kirk Elliott, good friend of mine, really smart guy, is our guest. And I'm just going to put this right up front. If I owned a restaurant, I would want to have the best, most delicious, healthy food at the most affordable prices where I got the biggest crowds in. So you had a great experience. You want to come back 100 times and I make money and I'm successful. You have a great time. You get treated right. I get treated right. That's a community. So let's say it again. People really responded to this truth. I've been on there 30 years. I've had gold sponsors for 28 years as sponsors. Only two companies. Because if you want a numismatic, they'd sell it to you, but they would try to sell you gold and silver bullion with, you know, 10% markup or whatever to pay their bills and do it. And that's very fair. You barely do it. I don't know how Kirk does it 8% with his crew and his everything and the quality and the marketing, but he does it. So he's paying for marketing and running his crew and doing all this stuff for 8% and no charge to sell it back. Everybody else does that. It's such a good deal. It's very frustrating. I know we have millions of people watching every hour, and a lot of folks are calling. He's getting thousands of calls when he comes on. That's great. But it needs to be tens of thousands of calls. I mean, this is so simple. In a world of fiat, you at least want to have a hedge that's in silver and gold. And if you look at what's happening, I am only going to try to push something that I believe I would personally do. And that I personally do. I mean, it's real simple. Do unto others as you would do unto you. That's the golden rule. And Christ said, actually, you need to go further, lay your life down for others. But when everybody's like that, you live in a great society because nobody's really having any problems. Everybody's a badass. Everybody's willing to sacrifice. So it is a no-brainer to call them, do a consultation, and get into silver right now. And if you want some gold, you know, maybe get an 80% silver, get some gold. But I think he's dead on. I don't think I know. You would be all silver. That's what's going to go up, obviously. That's what's undervalued. Then you get the gold once it skyrockets, which is already happening. So you need to go to KEPM.com/gold. That's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals. KEPM.com/gold. And then InfoWars is the support. Or you can call 720-605-3900. And listen, if enough of you went there, because he does his sponsorship off of what percentage he gets, we could get reporters back, expand, do anything. I mean, already we would not be on air right now if it wasn't for his sponsorship. He takes us over the top to be in the black. Not much, but a little bit. And so I appreciate the crew staying with us through all this hell. It's been wild. We're still here by the grace of God, but you need to support this sponsor. It supports what we're doing. Plus, it's the best deal, the best company, the highest ratings. It's so simple. Call him now, 720-605-3900.
War. Welcome back, folks. Still got a couple phone lines open if you're interested in calling in. 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. A couple more videos before going out to your calls on the topic of free speech and what's coming next. Not to frighten you, but to prepare you. I want you to be aware, not to be afraid. But it is a little bit terrifying. It is a little bit scary understanding where we are at this point. Let's go now to, we'll go now to clip number one. This was from a press conference. I played a few clips from it yesterday. This is Merrick Garland and Chris Wray, the leaders of our federal law enforcement branches, you know, took time out of their busy schedule of, you know, allowing foreign gangs to run rampant on our soil to warn us about conservatives online, conservatives being online. Kind of horrifying. We showed you a little bit of it yesterday, but here again is a disturbing threat from Attorney General Merrick Garland and what they plan to do immediately following Election Day. Let's watch.
And in early November, both in advance of and after Election Day, the FBI will be hosting federal partners at its headquarters command center to address events, issues, and potential crimes related to the elections in real time. Election officials and administrators do not need to navigate this threat environment alone. We are here to support them and to make sure they can safely carry out their critical work. Protecting our democracy and protecting our elections was a founding purpose when the Justice Department was established in 1870. The department answered that charge then, and we will answer that charge today as we confront those who would use violence or threats of violence to attack those who administer our elections.
Attorney General Merrick Garland targets conspiracy theories after launching Election Threats Task Force with FBI, sparking censorship concerns. They're meeting with federal and state officials,
before, during, and after Election Day to confront threats to our democracy. He says, the purpose of the DOJ in its creation was to protect our democracy. We're not a democracy. Okay. We're significantly less democratic when the Department of Justice was founded. It also functioned better. The biggest threat to election integrity and our democracy as it stands is the blatant and undisprovable fraud running rampant. This is the thing. It almost feels stupid to even address what they're saying, because the only response to this is to ignore what they're saying and look at what they're doing. Ignore the way they're phrasing their actions and look at what their actions actually entail. But it's worth it to notice that not only are their actions in complete 180 mirror image reverse contradiction to their statements. Their statements are in contradiction to their actions. But they're actually, like, it's the opposite. It's not just wrong, it's the opposite. So the greatest threat, obviously, to the election integrity is mail-in ballots. Millions upon millions, hundreds of millions of dollars poured by billionaires to rig the election by funding Democrat counties to a significantly higher degree than Republican ones, by rigging the media coverage to an insane degree, by, again, creating mail-in ballots, which, by the way, Elon Musk finally said the thing that I've been saying since 2020. And it's the first time I've ever seen anybody else say this. Where Elon Musk said, with mail-in ballots and no voter ID, it's impossible to tell if there's been fraud. Thank you. Yes, finally somebody says this. Finally, somebody other than me points out, I don't know, maybe I've just missed it. But in all the discussion of mail-in ballots, all of the, it's like people either have this stance of like, it's either fraud or it's not. And you can either prove it or you can't. And it's like, no, the point is that you can't prove whether or not it's fraud. The point is that it doesn't matter how many recounts you take or how many, like, once you break the chain of custody, you can never trust those votes. And Elon Musk finally said that. What a miracle, right? I don't know what we have to do to get this through to people, but it should be obvious. And how many times, you're a regular listener of this show, have you heard me use the example of, like, evidence at a trial? And that if you just don't have a chain of custody for the evidence, you can't introduce it at trial. Sorry, it could be the bloody glove that proves beyond any doubt that it was, you know, the person who murdered him. But if you just pull it out of a bag out of your back pocket and go, no, trust me, this was at the murder scene. No, you can't do that. So you can't break the chain of custody of votes and just go, here's a box of votes. We don't know where it came from or whether it's valid or not. Count it, add it into the mix. And then they're just gone forever. Like, there's nothing you can do to reverse that and determine which votes are good and which votes are, they're all bad at that point. They're all bad. Elon Musk finally announced that. That's the biggest threat to the election. So what is the DOJ doing? They're going after people who talk about that. They're going after people who actually advocate for election integrity. They're going after people who actually advocate for law and order and going after the migrants. They determine that that's hate. That's rigging the election. That's whatever other ridiculous nonsense label they can put on it, as they facilitate and allow the very thing that they claim to be fighting against while they arrest you for your speech. Let's go now to clip number 12. Kamala Harris issued this. I wouldn't even call it a thinly veiled threat. This is a threat to our free speech as a whole. It is a chilling advancement of the censorship agenda and desires and outspoken goals of the federal government. Here's Kamala Harris, presidential candidate, saying she's going to send the DOJ to shut down outlets that speak out against her. Let's watch.
We will double the Civil Rights Division and direct law enforcement to counter this extremism. We will hold social media platforms accountable for the hate infiltrating their platforms because they have a responsibility to help fight against this threat to our democracy. And if you profit off of hate, if you act as a megaphone for misinformation or cyber warfare, if you don't police your platforms, we are going to hold you accountable as a community.
Misinformation, hate, extremism, these things mean nothing. They mean nothing. You might as well refer to certain language as yellow and other language as blue and say, we refuse to allow this blue language. It means nothing. It's just a label they put on whatever they want to put it on. It means nothing. So what is she saying? So what is she saying? She's telling corporations in no uncertain terms, and the presidents of those corporations, you do our bidding, you censor the people we want censored, or we'll arrest you, charge you, we'll take control of your outlet, and we'll own it from then on. This is treason. Like this is treason. This is such a dangerous precedent for them to set, especially their definitions of these words. And you just heard her and Merrick Garland use exactly the same phraseology in describing the threat to our democracy. Just look at what we're dealing with here, folks. The threat to our democracy is the language they don't like. She's promising to send law enforcement to shut down the threats to our democracy, the language she doesn't like. All of this in an atmosphere of political deception in which the president of the United States, Joe Biden, can go out and admit, now that it's all said and done, that the Inflation Reduction Act was really the biggest climate change agenda ever put forward. Let's go to clip 11.
My investments, that through my investments, the most significant climate change law ever. And by the way, it is a $369 billion bill. It's called the we should have named it what it was. But at any rate.
Yeah, it was called the Inflation Reduction Act. It was a climate change bill. And these are the people that are telling you mis and disinformation is illegal and they'll arrest you for it. Most dangerous, blatant, absurd, narcissistic liars the world has ever seen is now telling you that they should be in charge of what is true.
We certainly don't claim to be doctors, but InfoWarsMD can prescribe a wide variety of supplement formulas to help you stay healthy in an ever-growing toxic world. These individually tailored combinations of vitamins, minerals, and natural ingredients address a broad spectrum of bodily functions, and each offers a unique boost to your well-being. Take, for instance, the synthesis of amino acids found in Nitric Boost, designed to promote circulation and muscular performance, or the microorganisms contained in our probiotic formula meant to help with digestion by introducing healthy bacteria to your system. Then there's Good Night Sleep and its proprietary sleep formula that can restore a healthy sleep cycle to your daily routine. So ask your doctor or just take our word for it and check out the InfoWarsMD products found exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com.
Everybody buys the Life Select storable food, which has a 25-year shelf life, just in case of an emergency. Frankly, it's cheaper to eat the Life Select storable food than it is to get groceries in Biden's economy. Then they don't buy the Alexa Pure water filter in conjunction with the storable food. My thinking is, like, how are you going to prepare the food if you don't have clean water? They go hand in hand. You got to get both. What do you think, Jacob?
You look at every post-apocalyptic movie in the library, the most powerful person has water. I'm a well drillers, so we have actually a pretty sound filtration system, but sure. I recommend to people that can't have the complex system like I have to get the Alexa Pure.
Thank you so much for your call. Super important call, Jacob. I appreciate it. I encourage everyone listening now to go to InfoWarsStore.com. Get the Life Select storable food. Get the Alexa Pure water filter as well, because you want to make sure that you have the ability to prepare that food with clean, pure water. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Be the reason that we're still on the air.